You know, folks, as we come to last Sunday, when we all gathered for our candlelight, and everybody seemed to enjoy candlelight a lot. I did. I enjoyed it a whole lot, and I hope everyone did. And we were all in the Christmas mood. We was all looking forward, anticipating the birthday that we would celebrate and the things that went on with Christmas. But the truth of the matter is, Christmas came and Christmas left, and now we're taking down Christmas trees, we're taking down lights, we're taking down everything that we put up before Christmas, and we're cleaning up, and we're thinking, this is done till another year. And it is, but I'm just praying that we don't let our light go out. I'm praying that we keep our lights on, folks. I know that it's hard to keep our Christmas lights on. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about us keeping our light on. And so this is what Jesus was talking about this morning. As we look at Matthew 5, 11 through 16, Jesus was talking about us being the salt and the light. And he starts out talking about in 11 about that if we are the salt and we are the light, we're going to be persecuted. And he's telling you that right off the very beginning, right off the bat. You're going to be persecuted. So, and he says, be happy about it. So let's listen to the reading of God's word before we get moved into that very much. 11 through 16. So God blesses you. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. Then he moves into talking about the salt and the light. You're the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You're the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. This is a reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, folks, as we hear the reading of God's word, the last thing that we read, he said, let your deeds shine out so people will see what you're doing and give me praise and glory. Now, I don't know about y'all, but if I'm doing something or I have done something for Brian, I don't want nobody to know about it. Y'all like that? Any of y'all ever like that? Sure we are. We're all that way. We don't want people to know a whole lot about what we do. That's wonderful. That's wonderful that we humble ourselves that we don't know. But as we stop and we think about what Jesus was telling us, he is telling us that you have to let your light shine. You have to be salty. You have no choice but to be that way. Now, when you stop and think about being salty, when you're sweaty, you're real salty. And that's, your dog's wanting to lick on you and all that good stuff, you know. That's not what I'm talking about either. You got to be salty. So if you stop and you think about salt, let's just think about salt for a few minutes. You pour you some salt in your hand, you pitch it, whatever you're going to pitch it on, it's going to have an effect on it. If you take that salt and you pitch it on the grass, it'll kill it, you know, if you pitch very much on it. But if you look back in Numbers, you will see in Numbers 18, verse 19, if you read the King James Version, my Bible don't read that way, but the King James Version does. And it talks about the salt covenant. It talks about the covenant that Jesus made. He sealed it with salt. You see, salt came into play early in the beginning of life. because there's a couple things you got to have to live. You got to have some salt in your body, and you got to have some water. I don't drink a lot of water, but you got to have some water. You got to have some liquid, but you got to have some salt. And so it talked about in Numbers how he sealed the covenant in Numbers 18, verse 19, the covenant of salt. And so we see in Leviticus tells us also in Leviticus 2, 13, that he said, for all the grain offering that you have, all the grain offering that you receive, he says, take salt and throw it in that grain offering. Throw that salt in that grain offering to preserve that grain. So we see it being used as a preservative for the grain, for the food we eat. I don't know about y'all, but when I grew up, we killed hogs. Every winter we killed hogs. And it had to be cold, had to be blue cold to kill hogs. And you'd plan on killing hogs this week, and it'd be warm like it's been here. And we couldn't, so we'd have to wait. And we'd wait and kill hogs then maybe next week or the next week, whenever we could get everybody together. But the first thing that we would do, folks, before we killed hogs, was we would empty the salt box. We would check the salt box and see if that salt box was still good from the year past. Because if the salt wasn't good, then you had to empty it and clean it out and put new fresh salt in. And we would throw the salt. I remember a lot of times throwing the salt around the smokehouse so that the grass didn't grow. It might not have been good enough to cure that meat, but it would kill that grass. And I was all for that. So that was what we'd do with it. But we would trample it under our feet. The salt that was considered no good to us was still good to be used for something a lot less than what we were doing with it. But the salt that you would put back in that box would be new, and we'd put that meat under that salt and leave it for X number of days, and that meat would cure. And then we would hang it up, and it would be there next year if we wanted it to hang that long. It usually got eat up pretty quick, but if you wanted it to be there, it would be there. I've seen them old-timers have a ham hanging in the smokehouse for 3, maybe 4 years. And they go get you an old ham, and everybody thought that it was the grandest thing that ever was. So salt, what Jesus is talking about, you being salty, salt is something that is used. It's used to preserve different things. It's used for different things in your life. But mainly, it's used to keep you alive. But you stop and think about it, folks. This salt that he's talking about is so small a grain, yet he's throwing it in the grain offering, and it's preserving. It's in the big scheme of things, it's so small, and yet it's so big. Yet it's doing such a great, great wonder. You are the salt that he's talking about. You Christians are the salt. The preachers especially are the salt. So you have to think about the preacher he's the big salt shaker. He's the big box that you go get when you really want a lot of salt. But y'all are the salt shakers, every one of you. Every one of us, if we claim Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then we are the one that's taking the word out into the world to preserve this word, to tell others about Jesus. Just as that salt's being thrown in that grain, just as it's being put on that meat. When I worked at Clifty Farm, they would loads of salt. They'd salt those hams down constantly, and loads of salt would be taken out, loads of salt be brought in, and it was something going on continuously with the salt. But folks, as that worked in that plant out there at Clifty Farm, you're working just as you're the salt in this world. Each one of us is taking that word back out into someone else's home, into someone else's life. If you're at church, no matter where you're at, you're taking that word back to someone else, and you're sharing that word. You are the salt. If you're not doing that, there's no reason for you to be here this morning. You might as well be at home. Because if you're not willing to be salty, there's no need to be here. You might as well just throw your salt out the door and go on and do what you want to do. So we are the reason that Jesus is talking about being salty. Because he says if it gets trampled underfoot, it's worthless. So we don't want to be worthless. We want to be someone that is taking this word and taking it out into the world and telling others. But he also says that you are a light of the world. So not only are you telling people about the salt, but you are the light of the world. Your light is shining through you. Your light is on constantly. Now, it may be showing someone that the battery's about to go down and it's just an old dim tail light. I don't know what your light looks like. Because I just know about Mike, and it's hard for me to keep my light burning as it should. But he says that you can't take that light that's on a hilltop like a city. It can't be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. So we know that our light is shining, folks. It's on every day. It's on everything we do. So what are we doing with our light? Why are we letting it shine like we do? Are you using it to better yourself at work, to gain more power, more privileges in the world? Are you using it that it's all about me? I let my light shine. I let people love me. I let people do what they do for me because they love me and they see so much in me, and it's all about me, and I don't really worry about everybody else. And that's what a lot of us are doing. We use our light for it to shine just like we would for a personal flashlight to shine our path if we needed one, and we don't worry about everybody else. And that's not right, folks. That's not right at all. We need to let our light shine. And we need to let our light shine so people will see that we are God's light. That it is a light that it cannot be put out. This light is one that's going to shine for the Lord in everything that we do. It's going to shine for the Lord because if we see someone in need, we're going to meet that need. If we see someone that we can do something for, we're going to take the blessings that God has given us. And we're going to do that. And that was what Jesus was talking about. He was saying to let your deeds shine out for all to see, that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. You know, if I do something for Brian, and you say, well, why's Mike done that for Brian? You know, because I want to. It's not that maybe he needed it. It's just because I wanted to. I wanted to do something for him. But where we get fouled up, I think, folks, in the world that we live in, it's all about me doing something for Brian. But it's not. Because God gave me the desire in my heart to do something for someone else. He gave me that love. The only love that you can have like that is the love that he gives to you. So you got that love in you. So what do? Do you give it back to someone else? Or do you keep it? Most of us want to keep it. We don't want to give it away. We'll give you a little bit away at Christmas, and we'll do this at Christmas and that at Thanksgiving, and it makes us feel better. Well, I feel a lot better about myself. I was able to do this and that. Yeah, that's good. But what are you going to do the rest of the year? What are you going to do throughout the year about the people that have the very same need they had in December, in January, and February, and all the way through? That need is there. So we don't meet that need. We forget about it. We don't give to our neighbors. We don't give to our church like we should, because We're going to need that for vacation. I'm going to need to stick that back for me during the summer months. I can't give that away. I'll give it some away at Christmas because I'm not going anywhere Christmas, and I'll be able to give somebody some little something, and I'll be able to help out, Mike. But right now I got to save because I got this big vacation coming up. I got this going on. I got that going on. I might need that. This could happen. What if this happened? What would I do then? Isn't that the way we think, folks? Sure it is. We believe that nobody can handle anything we have except ourselves. When we know that God is in full control of everything in our whole life. So we see that Jesus is saying, everything you do, do it for me. Do it for me. That I'm, you hear what the word says. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. Everything you do should praise your Heavenly Father. Every gift you have, everything you're doing, it should reflect right back to your Heavenly Father. Your light is shining, it's shining bright, but it needs to be pointing right toward Jesus. Right toward Jesus. And so much of the time, mine doesn't. It shines, but it shines back this way. It's not about this way, it's about that way. Folks, it is very, very important. And nobody could say how important it is as we look at the new year in 26. We begin to think about things that we're going to do. This year, I'm going to do this. This year, I hadn't done this, but I'm going to do it this year. Well, you know, I was thinking about it the last few days, and basically the same thing I wanted to do this year is what I wanted to do last year. But it didn't get done, did it? Maybe just touched on, but it didn't get done. So we come up with something new that we think we can accomplish this year instead of going ahead and doing what we wanted to do last year. Let's get it done this year. If we touched on it last year, let's make sure that we can get it accomplished this year. And so I think about that as I think about how our new year, as me and Tommy being the oldest ones here, we think about things a little different than a lot of y'all do, you know. But it's such a blessing, as I told Tammy this morning, to be able to see 2026. Now, I hadn't got there yet, but I hope I do. But if I don't, it's okay too. But I would have never dreamed about seeing 2026. I would have never dreamed that I would have been this far down the road. But it's such a blessing, folks. So what am I going to do with the 2026? Am I going to turn my light out because Christmas is over? Everything's happening. 2026 looks so grim, I'm not going to even get involved in any of that. I'm just going to turn my light out and grumble about everything that's happening. Or are we going to let our light burn? Let people see your light. But Jesus tells us that if you let your light burn, if you go through the year in 2026, people recognizing that you are a child of God, people recognizing that you are a disciple of Christ, you're going to be persecuted. Folks, they're going to talk about you. They're going to talk about you in ways that you should not be talked about. They're going to be talking about you in lots of manners. And that's not, it's not good. They shouldn't. I'm not saying it's good. But Jesus says, do not worry about it. Don't worry about what people are saying. You just live your life for me, and I'll take care of the rest of it. You know, I know what it is. I know how it is to be talked about. People talk about me all the time. I don't care. I don't care at all. They can say what they want to about me. But most of the time, people will say, y'all really know that fellow that you're preaching? Do y'all really know who he is? I don't think he's no preacher. They're right. I didn't used to be. But I hope today you'd say that I am. You know, none of us was what we wanted to be, what we used to want to, you know, to be. But we are what we are today, and hopefully we're in the eyes of God. We're exactly His child. We're exactly where we need to be. We never quit growing. We always let our relationship with our Lord and Savior grow each and every day and each and every week. But by letting it grow, our light gets brighter. As it gets brighter, it shines greater. And as it shines more and more, then people begin to realize, you know what? This guy, this person, this lady, this kid is really in tune with our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to pay attention to him. I want to listen to him more and more. I appreciate y'all coming and letting me be the one to speak to you on every other Sunday. But, you know, you don't have to do that, but I appreciate you letting me do that. Because it was one time when I would say, I'm not your preacher. I can't be your preacher. But you know what? When God asks you to do something for Him, then you have no choice. You have no choice but to respond in whatever it is He's asking you to do. So folks, today as we stop and we think about the things that Christ is trying to tell us here, that you're going to be persecuted for being a Christian. You're going to be talked about. You're going to be the center of attention, and sometimes it's not the good attention. You're not going to have any friends, because your friends, the more you get in tune with the Lord, the more your friends will go drop off, because they're going to see that you're not really somebody that I want to hang out with, because you're not living for the world anymore. You're not any fun. You're not having fun. You're talking about Jesus, and that's what you're doing, is living a life for Christ, and that's not a fun life for me. I want to be able to go and do the things that I want to do. And I'm not saying you can't, but if you catch yourself in a place that you really probably shouldn't be, or in a situation with a bunch of your old friends, or that will be your old friends eventually, because they won't come around, then let them see Jesus shining in you. Let them see that light. So folks, I ask you today, as we think about the end of the year and we think about our New Year's resolutions, let's just forget about all that. Let's just enjoy 26. But let's have one resolution, that we're going to have a closer walk with Jesus this year than we did this past year. We're going to enjoy spending more time with Him. And you can spend time with Him in lots of different places. Lots of different places. It don't exactly have to be at the church. But it's good to be at the church, because the church is where you get your battery recharged. Everybody's got a cell phone in their pocket. And if you don't charge it up tonight, it's probably not going to work for you tomorrow. And that's what you're doing when you come to church. You come to be in fellowship with all of the Christians that love you and your church family. And you charge yourself. You charge yourself that you can go back out and be that light. You know, if that cell phone light don't come on, you can't do anything with that cell phone. You don't know what you're punching. You don't know what it's doing. But if that light's on, you can see what's going on. That's the same way we are. If our light's not on, we're just wandering around. We're no good to nobody. But if it's on, folks, we can see where we need to be. You know, used to, there wasn't cell phones, there wasn't all this GPS stuff, there wasn't all the things that we have today. And what'd they do? They'd put a lighthouse up. They'd put a lighthouse up for the boats to see. They'd put lights up for the airplanes to see a light that's turning and shining, so they'd know that the airport is there. There was lots of things that reflected back to light. And you don't think about it now because we live in such a different world than we did. But if you stop and think about it, light is as or more important today than it's ever been. And that light shining for others to see. You ever stop and think about when the tire was hit in New York and the people that came down that, it was so dark, all that old dust and smoke and stuff was rising. You couldn't see anything. And there would be somebody that was wanting to try to save the power in their phone, and they'd take their phone and they'd hold it up and just bump it just enough for it to come on so they could see where they were kind of at, and they would help the one next to them. And they got down, a lot of them got down those steps and out because they had just a little bit of light that was shining. They followed that light, and they made it out. Folks, that's what you're doing. You're following the light. Jesus says, I am the light. We're following that light to make it out of this world into His world. And I hope today that you know and realize and understand how important that it is to be salty and for your lights to stay on. Don't shut them off this Christmas season because it's over. It's just beginning, folks. We're just beginning. So take your light, shine it bright, take your salt, scatter it into the world, and let everybody know that you are God's a child of God's. Let everybody know that you love Him. Let everybody know that He is the way, the truth, and the life. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.